ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Beginning with name 414, Vyaptaha. The obvious meaning of this, or the one which would probably come more immediately to the mind of most people who know or have any basic knowledge of Sanskrit vocabulary would be what? Do you know that word? That word or similar words come in Indian languages. Vyapt, yeah. Means? Included, not exactly. Anyone? That might be a secondary meaning. To acquire, no. You're thinking of vyapa maybe, which is all about, well, acquiring money. Vyapi, you know that word? Bhagavan sarva vyapi hai. Mean so spread everywhere. Sarva vyapi means so vyapt. We get the general meaning would come to mind as who is spread everywhere. Sarva vyapi means who spreads everywhere, and vyapt means who is spread. However, as we often find in the commentaries on Sri Vishnu Sahasranam, often they give another meaning as the primary meaning, and then what we would think to be the prime meaning as they give that second or third or fourth, like this. So that is a meaning, who is spread everywhere. Yatha akasha astito nityam vayu saravatra gomaha. The next name is vayu, which means, it means the air. And this, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that he is spread everywhere like the air. Tata sarvani bhutani. And I don't remember the last line, I should have written it down. He means Krishna is spread in the hearts of everyone, but the meaning given here is, the first meaning is that he who is full of love and affection, he was full, and that means full of love and affection. And specifically because he does not make, when it comes to giving his affection, he doesn't distinguish between who is qualified, who is not qualified, young, old, educated, uneducated, sinful, pious, friend, enemy. He's willing to give his love to everyone. This is a major point of Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy, especially among all the Vaishnavas. By the way, do you know, you're going on the altar, that once you touch a child, you have to take a bath and change your clothes if you're going to go on the altar again. You know that? That's one major reason why women generally don't worship the deities, because they have to look after children. And as soon as you touch, then you're contaminated, because they're always contaminated, children. Anyway, there's a major point of Gaudiya Vaishnav philosophy emphasizing this point that the only qualification to attract Krishna's mercy is to be devoted to him. When Sanatan Goswami lamented to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nicha Jati, Nicha Sevi, Nicha Sangha, he said, I'm of lower jati, translated in English as caste. I'm of a lower birth, although actually he was from very high birth, but then he mixed with Muslims, so then you're considered, if you mix with Muslims, to be of lower caste, which means that by previous, or not lower caste, but just outside any caste. So by previous standards, we have all these Brahmins in India today who are very, I'm a Brahmin, and I still think they're for something very important. But by the standards of their forefathers, they would, just by the fact that even if you go on a bus with some Muslim or lower caste person, and then you're what to speak of working for them, being paid for, or working for anyone, then you're outside the caste. So Sanatana Goswami thought, I'm very low, I mix with and I even serve people of a lower position. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to him, Nicha jati nahe Krishna bhajane ajoga shatkul vipranahe bhajane joga je bhaje she bharava bhakti hinacha Krishna bhajane nahik jat kuladi bicha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that low birth is not a disqualification to worship Krishna, and nor is high birth a qualification to worship him. Whoever worships is great. Whoever worships Krishna is great. Whoever doesn't, whatever their so-called high background may be, they are rejected and considered very low. Some people like to present Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as a social reformer who saved Hinduism from being overrun by the Muslims, giving a place to the low-class people, but that wasn't Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intention. Particularly, his intention was to give Krishna consciousness to everyone. Patra patra vichanahe nahistanastan jay jaha pai tarit deo premodan. This is the description of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Sometimes we think the Panchatattva is five people, but it's not. It's many, 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 because it's Srivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Srivas represents the jivas among the five types of living beings. Who, so Panchatattva means, anyway, that's getting off the topic a bit. But they distributed their mercy to everyone without seeing who is qualified, who is not qualified, what is a suitable place, what isn't, an unsuitable place. Wherever they found the opportunity, they gave the gift of Krishna Prem. So this is the message of Bhagavatam also. Prahlad Maharaj, who is also low birth, in the sense that he's, of course, his father didn't think he was from low birth, he thought he was very high birth. And according to material estimation, actually Prahlad was of a high birth, because his father is Hiranyakashipu, who's Rishiputra. So was Ravan, for that matter. So the birth is high, but because of their attitude of the daityas, the sons of the descendants of Diti, because of their attitude of enmity toward Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, which includes the adityas, the demigods, beginning with Indra, therefore they're considered very low class. Prahlad Maharaj, in his teachings, his very important teachings, which are given in various places in the fifth canto of Bhagavatam, and then in the seventh canto, the main narration of Prahlad is given. And apart from his prayers to Nrisimhadev, which constitute a long series of instructive philosophical points. There are elsewhere also when he speaks to his father, when he speaks to his friends. So Prahlad Maharaj had a lot to say. And one of the things he said was, Vipradvishada guna yuta aravinda nabhapada aravinda vimukhat swapacha varishthan manyeta darpita. I thought I'd forget it. Manyeta darpita mano vachane hitarta pranan punati sakulam natubhurimanaha. And he said that even if a brahmana, someone who's considered a brahmana, is actually not just someone born in a Brahmin family, but actually has the 12 qualities of a brahmana. In Bhagavad Gita we get, how many is that? 8 in the Shamo Dhammastapa Shocha. Yeah, but in the Sanak Sujatiya, one section of Mahabharata, they're given 12 qualities, very high qualities. Prahlad Maharaj said, even if one is decorated with all those qualities, if he is inimical to the lotus feet of he who has a lotus navel, he's Aravindanabha, so he has lotus navel, and Padaravinda, his lotus feet. Anyone, if he's inimical to the lotus, serving the lotus feet of the lotus navel one, namely Vishnu, even if he is in other respects a highly qualified brahmana, he is, or rather put that, someone is much better than such a person if, even if he comes from the lowest position of being born in a family of dog eaters, if he's a devotee of Krishna, then he's much better than such a called brahmana, because the devotee of Vishnu, he purifies not only himself, but all his family members, which is not possible for someone who thinks I'm very great, bhurimana. He thinks I'm very great by worldly qualification, moral qualification, but he's inimical to Vishnu. So the Lord gives his mercy. That's the point. He doesn't see, is this person high or low? He sees what is their attitude toward me, and he judges accordingly. And there are many, many examples of this in Shastra. Lord Rama famously accepted all the monkeys as his servants. Even when an enemy came to him, Vibhishana was from the enemy camp, but he surrendered to Lord Rama, and Rama accepted him against the advice of his advisors. Generally a king is advised to follow the advice of his advisors. But in this case, he overruled and said, no, I accept Vibhishana. because he detected that he's not duplicitous. His submission to me is genuine. When Krishna went to Mithila, then he was simultaneously invited by the king, Bahulashva, and by a poor brahmana, Shutadev. So they're both devotees. So he honored both of their invitations by expanding himself into, and he went with many rishis, and they all expanded themselves into also. And he didn't think, well, I should go to the high-class king and not to the poor brahmana. He extended himself equally to both of them. He judged not on the basis of their worldly position, but on the basis of their devotion to him. Similarly, very famous is that when invited by Duryodhana for meals, Krishna refused, which is a great insult if a king invites you. It was a political statement by Duryodhana to invite Krishna, and it was a political statement by Krishna to refuse him. But Krishna instead went to the house of Vidur and was fed banana skins accidentally by the wife of Vidur. But that accident was impelled by pure love. So Krishna was very pleased to accept that. So he's full of love and affection, and that love and affection, it is not based on any material qualification. Generally we find people who have lots of money, they have lots of friends also. But if they lose their money, they lose their friends. Which means that the friends, they weren't really friends at all. Fair weather friends, that's called. And you can pick up another English phrase here. Fair weather friends. When everything's going fine, then you have friends. But then when things go badly, then you lose all your friends. So a friend in need is a friend indeed, as they say. Yeah, cell phones off, please. There's so much in Shastra about this. In Gita, mam hi partha viparshritya yepi syut papa yoya striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti paramgatim. Krishna says, even if someone is of low birth, and then he begins low birth at Vaisha and Shudra and woman, but he says if they take full shelter of me, they can attain the supreme destination. He doesn't say they can do fairly well also. But he says they can attain the supreme destination, the highest, even though they're not of the highest qualification, but they can attain the highest position. So this is Krishna's mercy that he extends himself to everyone. And he doesn't see material qualification, because anyway, some of you are in a high-class Brahmin family. A few births previous to that, they might have been a worm in stool. So Krishna sees all of this. He sees the jiva, all the jivas, whether he's a high-class Brahmana or whatever, maybe they're, everyone's fallen in this material world. So the prisoner, he's done some crime, he's in the prison, but he's treated better in the prison if he behaves well. And those who don't behave well, they're treated roughly. Actually, they're all treated roughly, but some more than others. I was at a prison earlier this year in America, and we had a little program there, and in the middle of the program, the whole gang of this staff came and called out the name of someone, and they gave, and you see, they treat them very, the staff in the prison treat the prisoners very roughly. One of them was in there, at the age of 18, he had some drug, some marijuana or some mild drug, and he was in there for 20 years for such a minor offense, and he'd done 3 or 4 degrees in the time. So, but they treat them all very rough. And I was told that only the prisoners were allowed to, they don't allow the rough, the misbehaved prisoners. They keep them in a different part of the prison altogether. So they treat even the better prisoners roughly, because they're all prisoners. And so it's like that in the material world. Even if you're pious, you might get treated better, but everyone gets treated badly, because that's what a prison's meant for, to give you punishment. It's an apt analogy. So Krishna, see, everyone's a prisoner, but if someone's actually repentant and they actually want to serve Krishna, then Krishna delivers them. He's also kind even to his enemies. even if they maintain an inimical spirit to him up to the moment of death, the demons who Krishna kills are delivered by him. They're liberated by him. So that's another aspect. He gives his kindness to everyone, maybe in different ways to everyone, according to how they reciprocate with him and how they want it. Vyapta also means that he's widely spread everywhere. So that's well understood by those who are conversant with Vaishnava teachings, and it's been discussed elsewhere here in Vishnu Sahasranam, so I won't get into that much now. And a meaning given by Baladev Vidyabhushan Prabhu is that, again, I don't have the Sanskrit derivation, so I don't know how this comes, but how this meaning is derived, because it's not obvious to me with my very limited knowledge of Sanskrit. But he gives the meaning, attracted by the love of his devotees, he remains forever within their hearts. So he's there with everyone, with every devotee. He's in the heart of every devotee. He spreads himself. Spread doesn't mean he becomes thinner. If you have, for instance, some water in a glass, and then you pour it out, it'll spread everywhere. But then the volume will remain the same, but the thickness, if we take the different dimensions, then the height in the glass, it may be 10 centimeters of water. But then if you pour it out on a flat surface, it'll become a millimeter or less in height. But Krishna spreads himself out. In doing so, he doesn't become any less. He gives himself fully to each devotee. How can you give yourself fully to everyone? Well, Krishna can do that. When he had already married 5 times, I believe it was at the time, when he went to the palace of King Nagnajit, who had made a condition for marrying his beautiful daughter, known as Nagnajiti or Satya, that any prince who can subdue these 7 bulls, they can marry my daughter. And so many princes had come and left with their bones broken, but not with the hand of the girl. So he made a very difficult test that only Krishna could do. That was the idea. So Krishna, when he went there, the king said, actually, I want you to marry my daughter, and she wants to marry you. But I made this test, and I know you can defeat all these bulls, but please do it anyway. Just to fulfill the protocol, otherwise people will be angry at me that you should have given your daughter to me with it. Why did you not test Krishna in the same way? And they said, I couldn't do it, so Krishna wouldn't have been able to do it either, they may think. So Krishna, he expanded himself into 7 forms and very easily subdued all the 7 bulls. And by doing this, because he knew that Satya, the girl, and her father had some little doubt that he already married 5 times. I also want to marry. I don't want to marry anyone else, but I'm probably not going to see him all that much because he'll be busy with the other wives. So Krishna expanded himself into 7 forms and in this way assured her that, I can be with the other wives and be with you also. And later he married 18,101 more queens. Well, one more and then 18,100. And he expanded himself into 18,108 forms and completely gave himself to all of them. So we may think that, well, if I get back to Godhead, then I'll be dasa nudasa 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 nudasa. That's what we're supposed to be. Anudasa nudasa nudasa. And I'll never get to see Krishna himself. And there's so many Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrama Savya Manam. There are so many goddesses of fortune already serving him. So how will I get the chance ever? I mean, we like to serve the Vaishnavas, but we like to serve Krishna too. But Krishna, he makes himself available to each living being personally. That's something to be understood from this name. The next name is given is Vayu, which is a well-known word, which means in English air. But the meaning is has a broader general connotation in Sanskrit than it has in English. When we think of vayu or air, we generally think of that which blows around in space, around this planet. But there is, in Sanskrit, understand there are different kinds of airs, which is also a pranavayu, apanavayu, the different airs within the body. That's also said. We may say, well, I've got gas in my stomach. Gas means what? That means air. But it's understood there are various kinds of airs within the body. For blinking, there's some kind of air. And then for passing gas, there's one kind of air. For burping, there's one kind of gas. So these are different kinds. But Vayu, we know, is a demigod. Interestingly also, the meaning that's given here, the first meaning is by the commentator, is not the air exactly. That's not the first meaning given. Again, the what we may say, the obvious meaning is not given as the first meaning, but the meaning is given as one who moves, which also describes the air. But one who moves toward his devotee idea, he moves towards his devotees. The devotees, they move toward him, and he moves toward his devotees. Srila Prabhupada often used to say that if we make one step toward Krishna, Krishna will make 10 steps or 100 steps or whatever toward us. So Krishna is very anxious to come to his devotees. A very famous example is given of Gajendra, who called out to Krishna, and Krishna immediately came to save him. There's also, I want to read from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 12, text 6-7. Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya magparaha ananyenaiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate te shamaham samudharta mrityu sansara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha maya veshita chetasam. Krishna says, those who worship me, giving up all their activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, having fixed their minds upon me, O son of Pritha, for them I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Quoting from the purport here, in the Varaha Purana, this verse appears. Nayam Nayam paramang sthanam archir adi gatim vina garuda skandham aropya yatecham anivaritaha. The purport of this verse is that a devotee does not need to practice Ashtanga Yoga in order to transfer his soul to the spiritual planets. The responsibility is taken by the Lord himself. He clearly states here that he himself becomes the deliverer. A child is completely cared for by his parents, and thus his position is secure. Similarly, a devotee does not need to endeavor to transfer himself by yoga practice to other planets. Rather, the Supreme Lord, by his great mercy, comes at once riding on his bird carrier Garuda, and at once delivers the devotee from material existence. Although a man who has fallen in the ocean may struggle very hard and may be very expert in swimming, he cannot save himself. But if someone comes and picks him up from the water, then he is easily rescued. Similarly, the Lord picks up the devotee from this material existence. One simply has to practice the easy process of Krishna consciousness and fully engage himself in devotional service. There, I don't know if there's in this edition, but in one of the in the first edition of Bhagavad Gita, there was a photo from the spiritual world, picture of the depicting this. I don't think it's in this edition. Of the Lord on the back of Garuda coming to save the devotee who's in the ocean of material existence, putting up his hands. So Krishna comes to save us. That is the hope of the devotee. Asha bandha, one of the symptoms of bhava bhakti, is that a devotee has great hope that even though I'm unqualified, but Krishna will come and save me. So Krishna comes. There are many such prayers. There's, I believe that's at the end of the Stotra Ratna of Yamuna Acharya. He says that although I am very unqualified and very sinful, because my grandfather or ancestor is this Alva, what's his name? Nathamunisam. Yeah. So I'm sure the Lord will deliver me. So some connection. He will deliver me. Of course, we don't take that very cheaply. We don't think that, my grandfather used to chant Hare Krishna sometimes, so, I don't have to do anything. Krishna will deliver me. So a devotee doesn't take the mercy of the Lord for granted. At the same time, he's very hopeful that if at all I am sincere, then Krishna will help me. Of course, we may be sincere but still have many material attachments, so Krishna may help us by the painful process of we find it painful for those material attachments to be removed, so be ready for that also. So Vayu is a demigod. So why is Krishna's name Vayu? Well, he's the principle, or the underlying principle. In Gita also, Arjuna addresses Krishna by the name of various demigods, beginning with Vayu. Vayognir. What is it? No. Vayur Yamognir, Varuna, Shashankaha, Prajapatis, Tvam, Patima, Prapitamahascha. So he offers obeisance to Krishna as Krishna shows the universal form. That you are Vayu, you are Yama, the god of death, you are Agni, fire, you are Varuna, the god of the waters, Shashankaha, you are the moon, you are Prajapati, which in this well, that's also a name of Vishnu himself, given in Vishnu Sahasranam. progenitor, you are Prapitamaha, you are Brahma, the great grandfather. So Krishna is the principle, or the not just an impersonal principle, but the personal principle in the Upanishads and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's stated that the wind blows because of him. The god of death performs his duty because of him, and so on. In the purport here, Srila Prabhupada writes that the Lord is addressed here as air because air is the most important representation of all the demigods being all pervasive. So that fits with Vyapta, the name which just came before this one, being all pervasive. And in fact, Madhvacharya establishes with many quotes from Shastra that not only is Vishnu Sarvottama, he's above everyone, but Vayu is Jivottama. Vayu is the topmost of all the Jivas. And he also establishes that Vayu appears also as Hanuman and as Bhima and as himself, Madhvacharya. And actually the name or the Vayu, the understanding of this that's given by Baladev Vidyabhushan is that he defeated Jarasandha, the king of Magad, many times. Well, the ultimate defeater of, or the one who ultimately killed Jarasandha was not Krishna, but Bhima. So maybe there's some connection there. I don't know. And then the Sri Vaishnav commentators on the Vishnu Sahasranam, they give many references. Whoops, Vayu took away the piece of paper. Trying, just showing his little power. Vayu can be devastating. He can knock out all these buildings in a moment. Can be very powerful. When Vayu combines with Rudra, the Rudra principle, storms. The Sri Vaishnav commentators give many references in this name, or the explanation of this name, giving references. Shankaracharya will give references mostly from Shruti, and the other commentators will give from many from Mahabharata, and the Sri Vaishnava commentators, apart from all of these also, they often give references from the Divya Prabandhams. But they give many references to show that Vayu is the best of all the demigods, and Krishna is the Krishna, the name Vayu, is the Antaryami for Vayu. He is the super soul, we say. Antaryami literally means he who dwells within. So Vayu is, he gets his Vayuness from Krishna. All the qualities which anyone has, they ultimately derive from Krishna. And why he is the unique and important among the devas. When the sun and the moon, they are called the Indriya Devatas, because one cannot see without the light of the sun and the moon. So when they enter into a state of sushupti, or deep consciousness, meaning deep sleep, then at that time Vayu remains active. Then the earth and all the planets, they are held in place by Vayu under the control of the Supreme Lord. Now, modern scientific theory says it's all due to gravity, but there are a lot of problems with the theory of gravity. which they've done, which for which purpose they've invented 98% of the matter of the universe is invisible. You can't see it, touch it, taste it, smell it, or feel it, but it must be there, otherwise our equations don't work. The whole theory of gravity collapses, loses the gravity, collapses. So the Vedic understanding is that everything is in the universe is held in place by air, not by gravity. And then ultimately that principle is Balaram, by his strength everything is kept in place. So there are a few points. Shankaracharya gives the understanding that Vayu means that which is the cause of smell. We can't smell without air, but the very cause of it. What is that in Gita? Krishna says, Prithviam Gandham. What is that? It's written here somewhere. Punyagandha Prithivyam Cha. I am the nice smells coming from the earth. Krishna says, he is the principle of sweet fragrance in the earth. From the earth, we get nice sweet smelling flowers, nice fruit. And that's a miracle, isn't it? If we ask if the scientists can't produce earth, and even if we give them, tell them, take all the chemicals and make one clod of earth, they can't do it. And even if we give them earth, we tell them, okay, make some sweet smelling flower come out of this. They can't do it. They have no clue how to do it. Krishna's miracles. Now, often when I'm speaking on this Vishnu Sahasranama, speaking about one name, I say, this is a very important name. And I'm going to say that now for the next one also. I said that recently about Purusha. Very important name. So this name is Adhokshaja. This is not a not very well-known term among people in general. People in general, Hindus, they know names like Krishna, Narayana, Govinda, Hari, Madhava, Shamasundara, Gopinath, Gopal. There are quite a few names of the Lord which are well known. People know. If you're talking about that, you're talking about Krishna or Vishnu. Vishnu is another well-known name. One name we find repeatedly in Shastra, which is seems to be not well known at the present time, is Achyuta. Which often people go, what does that mean? Although it comes up again and again in Gita and Bhagavatam and everywhere. This name is not the name I'm going to say, Adhokshaja. It's not very well known, but it does come quite often in the Srimad Bhagavatam and of course in other Shastras also, but it's a name that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur especially gave much importance to, and Srila Prabhupada gave much importance to. This name, one of the very important verses it comes in is that which is the definition of the Supreme Dharma, Savaipung Sangparo Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhokshaji, Ahaitukya Pratihataya Yatma Suprasidati. That the topmost occupation for all living beings is unmotivated and uninterrupted service to the transcendent Lord. Yeah, is service to the transcendent Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to fully satisfy the self. So, here in his translation, which I said almost in exactly the same way as Srila Prabhupada said it. He uses the term transcendent Lord to translate Adhokshaja, and it's in this sense that that makes it very important. This whole verse, what is this supreme occupational duty, the supreme dharma? So the words ahaituki especially is a word which Srila Prabhupada often emphasized. Devotional service should be unmotivated. Apratihata means uninterrupted. We don't take a tea break or coffee break in South India from devotional service or any kind of break. And it also means that it can't be broken, that even if there is cause to break, that there may be disturbances in our life, but nothing will stop a devotee from serving Krishna. Even Bali Maharaj, he was completely humiliated, tied up, but in that condition he offered prayers to Vishnu, who had given the order to tie him up and who had taken all his property. So there's nothing going to stop. Even Prahlad was tortured and attempted to be killed, but nothing was going to stop him from serving the Lord in all circumstances. This is this meaning that he's transcendent, adhokshacha, means he is, aksha means the eyes, and in this context it means the eyes means all the senses. It's given to mean all the senses. Akshaja literally means that which is produced of the eyes or born of the eyes. So it means sense perception. And adha means beyond sense perception. So the Supreme Lord, he's beyond sense perception. This is a very important understanding. People say, well, if there's God, he should show himself. As if, which is a stupid thing to say, because if we say he should, then that means you put yourself in a position of authority over him, and then what's the meaning of him being God? But that he is beyond the range of limited sense perception, as that's Srila Prabhupada's translation of Namaste Purusham Twadhyam Purusham Prakritir Param Alaksham Sarvabhutanam. What's the last line? Alaksham Sarvabhutanam Nato Natyadharam Yata. Krishna is beyond the range of limited sense perception. Now, this is a very important point that we cannot, this is expressed in so many ways, we can't measure him. That name came up already in Vishnu Sahasranam. Aprameya. By no means can he be measured. We have no access to him except by the system that he gives. There's nothing that we can do to get him, to know him, to see him. We're dependent on his mercy. He reveals himself. Atashri Krishna Namadi Nabhavedgrahim Indrai Sivun Mukhehi Jivada Swayameva Spuratyada. By the mundane senses, one cannot perceive Krishna. But he reveals himself to one who's eager to serve him, beginning with the tongue, chanting his names and taking Krishna prasadam. That's active service. And even before that, there is the, we could say, the passive state of hearing about him. And even before that, if somehow we can serve devotees, with the very powerful processes of chanting his holy names and taking his prasadam. So although Krishna is vyapta and vayu, He's spread everywhere. He's all-pervading. He goes everywhere. But we can't find Him unless we go through the process given. Just like ghee is present in milk, but you won't even know about it. You won't know about it. If a child sees milk, will have no idea that there's a substance called ghee which is in it and which it can be extracted from it. One has to know the process of taking it out. So Krishna is all-pervading, but we can only access Him through the process which He gives, which is ahaitukya pratihata bhakti, devotional service to Him which is unmotivated and uninterrupted. So this is a very, very important understanding, that we can't approach Krishna by any other means than through devotional service. This is the main meaning, but which is given as the last meaning. Main meaning means it's the one which, at least our acharyas, they emphasize most. But other meanings are that He's never diminished, even though He's enjoyed by His devotees. He gives Himself to His devotees, but it doesn't mean He becomes less by doing so. If we give, I have a lack of rupees, okay, give 1,000 rupees to you, 1,000 rupees to you, 1,000 rupees to you, and if you give to 100 people, you've got nothing left. But Krishna gives Himself to His devotees, He doesn't become less by doing so. He doesn't become exhausted or worn out by doing so. Avyaya, that's one name of the Lord which has already come in Vishnu Sahasranama. He doesn't become less by giving Himself. He doesn't become tired. Oh, I need a break from being God. Of course, in Krishna's Leela, He may become tired. After dancing all night with the gopis, and the night is the night of Lord Brahma, Krishna dilates the time, then He goes through His pastime of being tired, and He lies down at the end of night. But shortly afterwards, He gets woken up. Quick, quick, it's time to go back home. You have to get woken up by Mother Yashoda, who thinks you've been sleeping all night. That's Krishna. But as Bhagawan, He's not depleted. He doesn't. So that meaning, that's a synonym of, in this case, of avyaya. Vyaya means expenditure. And avyaya means He doesn't become expended or diminished. Even though He's expanded, He's not expended. He tells Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita that Janmani Tavacha, what is that? Many births both you and I have taken. What is that? Bahuni me vyati tani, Janmani Tavacha Arjuna. Tani hang veda sarvani, natvang veda parant, namang veda parant. He says that many births both you and I have had, but Krishna doesn't become diminished. It's not that He's like an ordinary person who becomes old and then He's jirnani, like old clothes. No, out of His pastimes, He takes one form and then another. Not exactly He takes one form and then takes another, but He manifests a form in one place, then He demanifests it, then He manifests in another place. But He doesn't become diminished by doing so. Krishna never grows old. In Shankaracharya, he gives the meaning that He manifests Himself on the earth. That's Aksha means the sky, and Adha means that which is below. So in the region below the sky, Adhokshaja, below the sky, he takes birth. So he takes birth on the earth. That's the kind of thing that Sanskrit pundits do. They come up with all different interpretations like this. But it's very nice to explain Krishna. He comes to this earth. So, Hare Krishna. Let's see. Oh, another meaning which Baladev Vidyabhushan, he gives that he's beyond the reach of the blunt material senses. That he killed the demon Shakatasura while resting beneath a cart. So, again, the Sanskrit derivation, I don't know how that is. But that's another meaning he gives. Hare Krishna. So, any question about this?
Does devotion have anything like the previous karma? We have some karma, so does it affect your devotion?
Does karma affect one's devotion? Well, the acharyas have gone to great lengths to show that bhakti is independent of karma. It doesn't depend on any. Bhakti depends on the mercy of the devotees and or of the Supreme Lord. At the same time, we find Krishna says, "Yan yeshan tvantagatang papang jananang punya karmanam tedvanda mohane muktam bhajanti mangira vrataha." Generally, it's thought that people who are not very pious, they may not take to devotional service. Just I quoted that Mamhi Parthivya Pashricha. Even if someone is from what's considered a more sinful background, they can still take full shelter in me, Krishna says, and attain the higher destination. But then after that, Krishna says, King Puna Brahmana Punya, Punya Bhakta Raja Shriyastata, Anitya Masukam Lokam, Imam Prapya Bajasvama. Krishna says, well, if even these people can come to me, then what to speak of the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas, the pious people? So they're more expected to do so. So it's a bit of a complex question. Intrinsically, bhakti is independent, just as intrinsically the soul is independent of matter. But the soul becomes wrapped up in matter and appears to be influenced by it. So we come to devotional service with our previous sanskars, previous impressions formed in the mind, which may influence us, that we see. It's a big topic. I plan to speak on it at some point. I'm not sure exactly when. It's already in my list of topics. I have to research it some more, actually, because it is quite a complex topic. I may have spoken about it, but I often speak about it. Just like the other day, I spoke about the dignity of a devotee. I've already spoken about that, but I decided to speak about it again. It's for my own clarification also, to consider the topic more. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.